Do you realize that you can know Christ, be a follower of Jesus Christ, and yet have allowed yourself to be lullabied into spiritual slumber? Spiritual sleep.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe, and the program that you're listening to is called Straight Talk. I'm a pastor in the city of Chicago. I've been pastoring for quite a few years in a church called New Life Community Church. We're a multi-site church that meets in and around the city of Chicago. I have a deep burden to see this city transformed and each neighborhood experiencing the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And it's my joy and privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to thousands of people, not only on Sundays, but also via the airwaves in the Chicagoland area. So many of you have been so supportive, so encouraging. I know some of you stay up late at night after your bedtime just to listen to this program. Some of you have told me that, and I know that. And I'm sure that I put some of you to sleep with this program. And if that helps you go to sleep, well, hey, God bless you and keep listening. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the city of Chicago and the outlying suburbs that we refer to as Chicagoland. I believe that Chicago is a pivotal city in the course of this nation. With almost 10 million people in greater Chicagoland, this has been a center of power and a center of spiritual influence and a center that persuades and influences the rest of the nation. I've been praying for years that God would do something extraordinary in this great city of ours, and I believe that my eyes will see that. I've seen so much happening already. I just came together with a group of men recently that are believing God to see literally hundreds of churches, 400 churches planted in the next few years throughout this city of Chicago and surrounding neighborhoods. These church planters will be from different groups and different denominations, but Christian people bringing the gospel witness to neighborhoods. So would you pray that God would open up doors all over the city of Chicago? Would you pray that churches would be planted, that the existing churches would be strengthened, and that God would move in this city so that we would not be known as a city of violence, but that we would be known as a city where God has moved and is moving in incredible ways? Let's get ready for today's message.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Today we will be continuing on in Pastor Mark's series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. And tonight, his message is called How to Be Ready for His Second Coming. We'll be in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. We'll be in verses 9 through 12. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
How to be ready for the second coming of Christ. How to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, there's been a lot of talk these days about the end of the world and the second coming, in part because there have been radio preachers and televangelists predicting the day and the time of the coming of Christ. We live in some interesting age times. We have seen the toppling of governments at a more rapid rate than I think we've ever seen before in the Middle East. Oh, it's happened fast. We have seen earthquakes and natural disasters probably more than I can remember in my lifetime before, just compounded in a shorter segment of time. We have seen an economy, a global economy, that's more intermeshed in each other than any time that I can remember. Right now, the economy of Greece has ripple effects in the United States of America because we have become one global world and we are tied together economically, socially. We're tied together in leadership-wise like never before. And many people are looking at the signs of the times and saying, hey, things are lining up like we have never seen in the past to fulfill the prophecies of Scripture about the end times. Now, You may have heard about the second coming of Christ, and maybe you've never heard of the second coming of Christ if you're newer and haven't been around Christianity. But the second coming of Christ is predicted in Scripture and is known as a huge, major event. This is the time where Jesus Christ will come again. Not born in a manger like he was the first time, not living here on earth and ending up on a cross, but he will come again, and this time he will come as king, as powerful conqueror, and he will take believers with him that are prepared for his coming. It's called the second coming of Christ. Now there's charts many people have put together charts trying to analyze when this day will be, what time it will happen, what month it will happen. Let me set you at ease. In 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul compares the second coming of Christ to two images that he gives. One, the image of a thief that comes unexpectedly. We don't know when, how, or where, but we're prepared for it. And the second is the image of a pregnant woman. I've had 3 children, or my wife and I have. She did most of the hard work in labor, but I was there. And here's how the second coming of Christ is similar to the birth of a baby. When a woman is pregnant, she knows that this baby is coming. It's inevitable that that day will come when that baby will pop out and she'll be able to hold that child. Now, doctors try to predict the day. They do ultrasounds. They measure the size of that child within that mother's womb. But no doctor on earth can exactly, precisely determine the day that that baby will be born. 19 years ago, when my first child was born, Marissa, we went to the doctor like every excited, expectant parent. And the doctor put the little gel on my wife's stomach and moved the ultrasound around, determining the size of the baby. And the doctor said, "Well, I predict that July 9th, this baby will be born." Well, I was ecstatic because July 9th is my birthday. Mark it in your calendar so you remember. Nah, just kidding. And so as my wife got bigger and bigger with this baby, we knew that the day was coming, and we anticipated it maybe July 9th, and I thought, great, a double celebration of the birthday. July 9th came and July 9th went, and there was no baby. The 10th came and went, and there was no baby. The 11th, the 12th, 13th, 15th, 16th, my parents had to change their flight 3 times because they were waiting for this baby to be born. And finally, on July 21st, Marissa was born. Now, we knew that it was happening, and when she started having contractions, we knew that it was coming close, but even then, we didn't know the time, the hour, the date, and so it is with the coming of Christ. We know that the times are pregnant with the coming of Jesus Christ. We know that it's getting closer, but no person on earth can declare the day, the time, the hour, the month, and the year. We can begin to see that the time is increasing, that things are coming into place. And like a woman who's in contractions, we know that it's getting closer the harder the contractions are, but no man or woman can predict the day of the coming of Christ. So, with that in mind, I want to turn your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning reading verse 1. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1 says this: "Now brothers, about the times and the dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night nor the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as our helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Word of the Lord, you may be seated. I remember wondering as a teenage boy, hearing about the coming of Christ, what that day would look like. What if there's a Christian pilot piloting an airplane and the coming of Jesus happens and he disappears? Will all 275 passengers crash? What if there's a Christian teacher at a school giving lectures in a class and the coming of the Lord happens and he's taken and left behind, and the class is left behind? What would happen where drivers in downtown cities where Christians are driving and have their Jesus bumper stickers on their car, and suddenly all those Jesus bumper sticker cars, or maybe a lot of them, suddenly are without drivers? Because the Bible says the coming of Jesus Christ will come instantly. He will come like a lightning flash in a moment, in an instant, without warning. And he will take those that are ready and belong to him. In fact, I've wondered sometimes, what would happen? Oh, think about for a second. If on Sunday morning, the coming of Christ came. We're all gathered together in a church like this, and suddenly the coming of Christ happens. Imagine that a whole bunch of people here would, boom, be gone. But imagine if, well, there's always some left behind. Well, I would like to give you today four ways to be ready for the second coming of Christ. Number one, you prepare by watching the signs of the time. It tells us in verse 1, "Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night."
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, How to Be Ready for His Second Coming. It's from Pastor Mark's series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. After the broadcast tonight, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Tonight's Straight Talk is called How to Be Ready for His Second Coming.
Jesus criticized the religious leaders of his day because he said to them in Matthew chapter 16 that they knew how to predict the weather of the day, but they did not know how to read the signs of the time. And he said to the religious leaders, there's something wrong with that. Someone can wake up in the morning, look out the window, and if it looks cloudy or if there's a certain wind disposition, they may say, hey, today's going to be a sunny day. But he said to them, although you know the day will be sunny or it'll rain, you do not know how to predict what season we're living in. There are two words used here in the Bible. In our NIV translation, it says times and dates. The word time comes from the Greek word chronon, which means length of time. It means the chronological periods which occur before the second coming of Christ. In other words, the times that are elapsing, the seasons before the coming of Christ. And it has to do with a sequence of events. The second word that's used is the word seasons. That word is kerion. It means the quality of that time. It refers to the significant events that will take place during those times. The Bible is full of predictions, prophetic predictions about, in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel, in the book of 1 Timothy, in the book of Peter, revelations about what it will look like before Jesus Christ comes again. What are some of the prophetic events that are lining up and putting themselves in place in preparation for that second coming? Now, we also know that Jesus himself forbade us to predict a day, a time, and an hour. In fact, it tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus said, "Of that day and hour, no one knows. The day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven." And in a surprising phrase, Jesus said, "Nor the Son, but only the Father." Think about it, that the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ himself, limited himself here on earth, so he did not know the day or the hour. What makes us think that anybody else on earth would know the day, the hour, or the time? If you read a magazine that says 2012, October 13, Jesus is coming again, you can be sure of this, that that person, although sincere they may be, are wrong. And have somehow allowed themselves to be led astray by numerology or false predictions or a sense that they have an insight greater or deeper than even Jesus Christ has. So we do not know the day. We do not know the time. The Father has decided to keep that card close to himself. He hasn't shown or revealed the day or the time. Oh, he knows what it is, but he hasn't shown or revealed that day to anybody. Why? You say, "Well, Pastor, it would be a lot easier if I knew the day and the time. I could set my things in order. I could be prepared. I could be ready." Oh, God knows you and I too well. God knows that if you knew that it was in December of 2012, you'd be thinking to yourself, "Hey, I have a year and a half to party hard, not get things right, hold grudges, not tithe, do all my stuff, and then a couple days before the coming of Christ, man, I'm going to fast, pray, repent, get on my knees, read the Bible every day. I'm going to get all ready." Because if you knew the time of your death, or you knew the time of his coming, then you would postpone and procrastinate until the very last minute before you decided to get serious about God. But instead, what God has chosen to do is leave it a mystery, to encourage us, to use that leverage towards us so that we live every day. This is how God expects us to live. Live every day as though this could be the day when Jesus Christ comes again. It tells us in Scripture that Paul uses two images. As I mentioned before, the image of a thief and the image of a woman in labor pains. Now, he uses the image of a thief because a thief, well, if you live in Chicago, you know that you have to be ready for thieves at all times. If you live in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, maybe you don't have to lock your doors, but in our city, we lock our doors. We're a great people, but we still have to lock our doors. Because you know that there's always someone out there ready to take your goods. And so at night, you lock your door. If you have an alarm system, you set the alarm system. If you drive a car, you make sure you lock the doors and don't leave your GPS on the dash for anybody to get, because you're ready for that thief. You want to be prepared. If you have a baseball bat under your bed, you make sure it's there at night. Just you're ready for that thief if he decides to approach your house. Now, I've never known of a thief that sends a warning card in advance. I've never known of someone that gets a little postcard in advance saying, "Next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, I will be burglarizing your home. And I'm just warning you in advance so you'll know." No, no, no. That's not how a thief operates. A thief approaches your house when you are most off guard, in the middle of the night, or maybe when you're at work, or a time when you don't expect that a thief is going to come. It's the element of surprise that allows a thief to be able to break into a house. Jesus says that he will come back like a thief in the night. There is no warning. It will take people by surprise when he is coming. People will be saying safety and peace, and at that moment, when people think that things are okay, when people think that there's no threat to their life and that there is overall things are settling down, that Jesus Christ will come again. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everyone in it will be laid bare. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44, it says, therefore, stay awake. For you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So we have the image of a thief that's coming at an unexpected time. And we have the image of a woman that's about to bear a child in labor pains. In Matthew 24, it talks about the coming of Christ being like a woman that is pregnant with a child. And it says to us that this speaks of the inevitability of his coming and the unexpectedness of his coming. Jesus used that same idea in Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. He spoke of the calamities building up to his coming. And he said that only is the beginning of labor pains. You begin to see the calamities building up, and it's only the beginning of the contractions that this universe, this world, will experience spiritually and physically as it leads up to the coming of Christ. So first of all, know the seasons and the times, but do not obsess about the dates. No one knows the dates, and do not obsess about it. But live with an expectation that it could happen any day. Number two, you prepare for the second coming of Christ by being fully awake spiritually. Notice what it says in verse 4. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. The Apostle Paul is saying, you may not know the exact time, but you won't be surprised like most of the world that is not spiritually alive and attuned to what the Bible has to say. Many people in our society, when Jesus Christ comes again, will be flabbergasted, shocked. They won't know what happened because they are biblically ignorant of the times of the coming of Christ. They will know something significant happened, but it will catch them absolutely by surprise. Paul says, you're not in the darkness like that. You should have an expectation that this is happening and coming soon. He says to these believers that that day should surprise you like a thief. Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. That's one of the favorite expressions of John. You are sons of light. We do not belong to the night or darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Now, what is Paul saying when he says, let us not be asleep? Well, he's not talking about physical sleep. He is talking about spiritual sleep. Do you realize that you can know Christ, be a follower of Jesus Christ, and yet have allowed yourself to be lullabied into spiritual slumber? Do you realize, well, what does a sleeping person look like? Well, you can walk by a sleeping person and they're not aware that you're there. You can move. Some of you are heavy sleepers. How many of you are heavy sleepers? Like, earthquake could happen, it would not wake you up. And some of you, well, when it's happening, things can happen around you, and someone could actually pick up the couch and move it to another room while you're sleeping, and you would stay sound asleep, because you are unaware of what's happening around you. The Bible tells us that many people, even Christians, spiritually allow themselves to be lured by the lullabies of our society. They begin to fall into this zone of being comfortable and slack and not spiritually alert and attuned to what God is saying and speaking, and they begin to fall asleep into carnality and fall asleep into just not watching their spiritual life. And so they allow themselves to be in active slumber, sleeping, not hearing the voice of God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. And tonight was the first half of his message called How to Be Ready for His Second Coming. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark and our Straight Talk team. Thank you so much for listening. Please do have a great night and join us again tomorrow. God bless.